Welcome to the Covenant Community Church podcast. We hope that this teaching will bless you. Share with us how God is moving in your life and how this message impacts you by emailing us at media@covenantcc.net. Are you ready? It's time for the Word.
Amen. Listen, you don't want to miss Sunday. This new series is simple, it's short, but it's powerful. It carries a great big punch. How many of you want to know God's plan for your life? Can I see hands? Well, I'm going to help you. You just don't climb up a mountain. Mountains move. And mountains move because footsteps are ordered of the Lord. And God is going to order your footsteps in the right direction. In other words, if you ask God for direction, He'll not only give you an appointed time, but He will turn around and give you the footsteps and the journey to go on it. How many believe that? Amen? You know, I do. All righty, you ready to learn the Word of God tonight? Say amen. Why don't you go to 1 Corinthians, and then I'll tell you in a minute where else to go. 1 Corinthians, I love studying these gifts, and we're going to be taking a gifts test soon. Go to 1 Corinthians. Let me get where I want to go. I thought this was just fascinating Greek to me. Just this word we're going to study. Let me find it. There it is. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 1 Corinthians, the city of Corinth, and in case you don't know it, you know this is that there's more than two books of Corinthians, right? That Paul actually wrote a letter to the Corinthian church that was lost, wasn't canonized, and then there's 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians, which was canon. So there's actually three letters that Paul wrote to this city. I've actually walked through this ancient city. It had to have been stunning in its full color. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. 1 Corinthians, just a minute. I'm switching from Revelations and switching gears. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. There we go. Now, to another, the performing of miracles. Now, I want you to watch this. I want you to see, and we'll see if you catch this. The word miracle, how many of you, I'm going to turn around and see your hands. How many of you need a miracle? Can I see hands? All right, let's talk about that. The Bible says that there are certain people who have gifts of miracles. Now, we all know evangelists that operate in the gifts of miracles, but let's look at this a little deeper. Now, give me just a second. Let me write this up here. All right, I'm going to speak this, and I want to see who catches it, okay? Enorethemata ta dunamon. That's right. Say it again, Nikki. The word dynamite is in this word. Now, that's fascinating to me in the Greek. Now, watch this. I'm going to shock you, but this is one of the things it means in the Greek. It does not, does not only, this does not only, make sure I get my words perfect, mean miracles. It just doesn't mean take up your bed and walk. Just like we learned last week when it comes to healing, it's not just miraculous healings, but healings through a medicine and healings through good health. This word actually is a Greek phrase which literally translates, and it means the working, plural, workings of ta dunamai power. Now, you've seen this word or heard this word with preachers, and it says, and you shall be endued with power when that the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Dunamai. So it means the workings of power, but it doesn't just mean miracles like take up your bed and walk, or if you're blind, I want you to see. It actually means that these gifts were diverse and permanently available at the will of a gifted believer. It's a double plural in the Greek. And when, now let me explain that. Let me write it down and go slow because this can get really confusing. All right. In the English, there's past, present, and future. In Greek language, which is what the New Testament was written in, there is a whole different set of rules for language. And just so you'll know, mata, eon, any Greek word, like if I wanted to say drive, and then I wanted to add the word pre-driven. In English, we'd put the prefix here, P-R-E. Not, that's not the way it is in biblical languages. The prefix goes on the end. So this is a double plural. This is plural, and this is plural. So it's not just the fruits of the Spirit. Now, how many of you know that's biblically incorrect? There are no fruits of the Spirit. There is the fruit, singular, of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. There's one seed, many, many different varieties. And you'll notice how many times when you read the Bible and it talks about the diversities of tongues, diverse kinds of tongues, and it says various kinds of miracles and different things like that. This word miracle isn't singular. It really should be plural. How many of you have a Bible where it's a plural word for miracles here in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10? Anyone got a plural there? You do? What Bible are you reading out of? King James. Wow, King James got it right this time. What you got, Nikki? All right. Anyone in here, you got a singular miracle? The workings of miracle? A miracle? Okay, good. All right, now watch this. This is a double plural. This means workings and powers. Plural, powers. So it's not just talking about one kind of power or one kind of a miracle. It's bestowed upon people, and it actually carries with it an understanding of time, and it carries with it in the Greek an understanding of time and of, I got to catch myself again, I lost my place here. Times and circumstances. So there is a huge diversity to this that goes with this word miracles. It does not mean only miracles. Take up your bed and walk. It's double plural, so there are many different kinds. And there is a specific time related to a miracle. God, I'm about to make myself happy preaching to you tonight. God has a specific time. There it is again. I didn't even see this when I was studying. God has a specific time, an appointed time, to heal you and move your mountain. Somebody say amen. Got an appointed time. This word proves it. It's a specific time for the miracle. It's a specific circumstance. It may be when you've given up hope. It may be right at the wee hours of the morning at 5 minutes till 12. It may be after the prison door shuts with Paul and Silas. God has a specific time and a specific circumstance already designed for you to be healed. And for God to work his power in your life, okay? And so, these gifts are subject. Now, this is interesting because none of the other Greek implies these things that I've found so far. This gift is subject to divine will. So, when people say, well, you have the gift of healings, why didn't you go to the hospital and empty out the floor? That's not what the Bible teaches. How many of you believe God still heals? Can I see your hands? I know he still heals. And so it's God's divine will based on this miracle. It has nothing to do with the person. When God gets ready to move for you and to move your mountain and to heal you and to give you the miracle you've been asking, it will come in an appointed time, and he's going to orchestrate the circumstances so wonderfully that you're going to know God has showed up, and it's going to be his divine will. It's subject. This gift, and you have to realize, now watch this. All of the gifts, according to Romans, according to Corinthians, according to Ephesians, all of the gifts are given by the Holy Ghost as a charismata, a charisma, which is grace. You get it because of grace. I keep telling you that. You get it because of grace. All of the gifts of leadership, the gifts of apostle, the gift of pastoring, the gift of whatever, all of the gifts are given when the Holy Spirit gives you a gift. Everybody has a gift. No one was left out. It's a great Christmas. Somebody say amen. Everybody gets a gift. But when it comes to the gift of miracles, and I know of very few gifts that have been more abused than the gift of miracles. And I don't know if you've ever read my first book on When Strong Men Wept, but I was at an evangelist, I was working at that church actually, and there was this famous evangelist that came in, and I think he's a good man, I think he loves God, I think that he is above board ethically, but I remember sitting there as a young man and watching this boy who was supposed to have been healed of blindness walk across the stage, and people who, without thinking and knowing that he was blind, begin to shout and give God praise. But I knew in my heart sitting there something wasn't right. Knew it wasn't right. We want miracles so bad, we want to help God bring them. And I'm going to tell you something. God, I'm going to use really good English, don't need no help. Everybody say amen. God don't need no help. But he still is a healer. If you believe that, say amen. So he heals, but it's subject to the divine will of God. But here's what this word means. It actually means an achieving power. Good Lord, this is good. An achieving power. Now, just because this is the word power and it's plural, I can assume that the exegesis and hermeneutics of this scripture in 1 Corinthians 12 and 10 says that there's achieving powers. And I can be on good solid ground. There's achieving powers going on here. This word, duna. Do you know what that means? That word duna actually means to be able. To be able. To be able. So duna may power be able to bring about power. Do you know that there are some people in the body of Christ that God will touch you and anoint you, and at the right time and in the right circumstances will come on you with an unction that Peter talks about, and you'll lay hands on someone, and do you know that he will, according to his divine will, give you achieving power so that you can heal the sick? It enables you. God enables you. Duna. Duna. He enables you with power. He enables you with dunamai power to speak in tongues. He gives you that power to make you to be able to do something. You can't do it in your own, but you can do it if God helps you. Somebody say amen. And then this word means this, to will. That he will get involved in your will. It's amazing how the gifts work. I don't want to waste a lot of time with this because I'm already close to being out of time. But I was, when I left Massaville, Kentucky years ago, in 1989, and I went to Fayetteville, North Carolina, to pastor, a youth pastor of a mega church. There was this boy who was getting pornographic letters sent to him, and the youth group had gone from like 50 juvenile delinquents to 400 or 500. And back then, I had a problem. I'd go to my knees and I'd pray till God showed me. I'm not saying I don't do it today, but it was natural for me, very natural. And I got on my knees and I said, God, you show me who's sending this boy pornographic letters making him feel like he's not welcomed in this youth group. The police department got involved and says the worst pornographic letters I've ever seen sent to an individual. And this kid would get a letter and he'd come into youth group and he'd cry and kind of a bigger boy. And he would cry and all the kids would get around him and say, no, we love you. And he would get all this attention. And I was in an altar call in a youth group night. And before I knew what came out of my mouth, I pointed my finger at him and I said, you wrote those letters. Guess what? He wrote those letters. When you're working in supernatural gifts, the Holy Ghost will give you the will and you got to obey him. He'll give you a boldness to will and to do something, to lay hands on him. He'll give you a boldness in faith, a boldness to believe something, to achieve powers, and he'll give you the ability to do what God is wanting to do. All he wants you to do is to obey. How many of you, God told you to pray for somebody before in your life and you didn't obey them? Let me see hands. That's happened to me. Yeah, I didn't. You know what? God only needs you to surrender. He needs you to surrender. Now, this word also in the Greek means intrinsic. And it's interesting. I'm not even going to try to spell that right now. It's interesting that this is plural, and it's interesting that it requires time and circumstances and is subject to divine will, which is God, and that God gives achieving power to his people who are obedient, and he gives the will to the person who has this gift, and it happens intrinsically. It happens just like I told you, it happens on the inside. It'll hit you, and before you know what hit you, you'll have faith to believe that blind eyes will open. You'll have faith to believe in different kinds of workings of powers, plural. Different kinds of workings of powers. And what's so amazing about it is this word also implies in the Greek the ability. You can't heal anyone. Somebody say amen. But God can. And when you look at this word here, Ena, and you come over here and you look, it looks like the word Eve in English. It's Ena in the Greek. That word Ena actually means, this is so amazing, to affect. So look at what this means when you got the gift of miracles. When God wants to use you in different workings, it could be 100,000 different ways, in many, many different kinds of powers. That this doesn't just mean take up your bed and walk. It's a double plural, workings and powers, that take place in specific times under controlled circumstances of God that God orchestrates by his subject to his divine will. He gives a human being that has surrendered their life to him achieving powers to accomplish what he has, man, this is good, to accomplish what he has intended to do and has promised you to do. And I'm convinced that a lot of us haven't seen our miracles yet because God is wanting to use some of you to bring a miracle for somebody else, but you haven't obeyed him. You haven't stepped out. You think, well, that's just me, or I shouldn't be doing that. I want to tell you something. God gives you that unction to achieve with powers, dunamai, and to will these things. You will it, you want it, and it's intrinsic. It's going on the inside. It gives you the ability to do what? To affect circumstances and times. So what I'm trying to say is that be very careful being at Walmart, and then all of a sudden God says, pray for that person. And you think, well, it's just pizza. Sometimes it is pizza. Many times it's two pizzas. But God says, there are people who I am wanting to, and God would never use this word, but I'm using it in the English so you'll get the meaning. God would never use this word, but I'm using it so you'll get the meaning. God wants to show off through you. God wants to show his power to other people through you. It may be holding their hands and praying in faith and encouraging them to get a job, and they get a job when no one else is getting a job. When all the circumstances are behind them, when the timing isn't right, and it just seems like there's nothing happening, no achievement in a person's life, and they don't even have the will to want to live anymore, and the inside is dead, that the Holy Spirit can come through and use someone who's a member of his body to work in effect time and circumstances by his divine will to achieve powers, so that through the will and the intrinsic obedience of a believer, that people can have the ability and the ability to be able, dunamai, to affect and change someone's life. Here's what it boils down to. God wants to use you to change someone's life. He wants to use you to show his power to someone else. He wants to use you. Some of you have this gift. I don't know who I'm talking to, but you have this gift. Now, miracles are given by God to the church to reveal the presence of his glory. And so this is important for you to understand, that miracles, and I call them Old Testament miracles, are first and foremost in the Old Testament and in the beginning of the New Testament and throughout the New Testament for one purpose first, and that is to confirm that the writings were anointed by God and were had the ability to be canonized and become Bible. Miracles was one of the acid tests of whether a book was considered to be part of the Bible or not. Like, it's the whole canonization process. Canon meaning measuring rod of righteousness. Miracles were used to confirm that those people really were from God. Now you take that and realize that God still does miracles in the New Testament and even in the church age. And God is wanting to use people to pray people through and to deliver them. He's wanting to use you to encourage someone. He's wanting to use you. He may use you at any moment. The question is, will you obey him? Will you say, yes, Lord, not my will, but thine be done? Somebody say amen. So that's exciting to me. Miracles. Ability to affect. You know what? I'm going to go to this one. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10, and let's finish that. And to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healings of one, to another, performing miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, distinguish between us. Now, what? Here it is. To another, different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Let me get a different color ink pen. Different kinds of tongues. Different kinds of tongues. Let me write this. Give me just a second. G-E-N-E-G-L-W-S-S-W-A. There we go. This is glossoma, where you get the word glossolalia from, which means tongues. It's a theological word. Glossoma. And this actually means speech. But what's so fascinating about this is this word G-E-N-E, genie, actually means, you ever heard the word genes? You got genes, you got your mama's genes, got your daddy's genes. This is actually the word genes, and actually means offspring, and actually implies species. We get our word species from, and the word kinds. So all of you former Baptists, listen up to me really good. People will tell you that are called cessationists that tongues went out with the early church. They're wrong. And they use the verse in 1 Corinthians says, when this will happen, with that which is perfect come, this will pass away, and it literally says, and tongues will pass away. Okay? You don't need tongues when you're in heaven. Romans 8 says that you have a gift. Everyone has it. Peter said, to your children, their children's children, as many as the Lord God shall call. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, I speak in tongues more than you all. And he's actually beginning to teach it to people who are not the early church, who are going to lead the coming church. And so he says in Romans that what happens is that God gives everyone a prayer language to where you pray the perfect will of God. How many of you would like to hit the mark every time you pray? Now I'm telling you, it's available. It's available. You need to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. And listen, there's not, you can walk up here any Sunday and say, Pastor Michael, lay hands on me. I want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'll pray for you. We're going to do a one-night revival on a Wednesday night in November. And where's my dad? My dad got the baptism of the Holy Spirit through Bill Claypool. He's going to do it. And he's got a gift for that. And it's going to be at the Western Kentucky Dream Center. But what happens is when you get the gift of tongues, and Peter says in Acts it's for everyone, and we'll get more into this the week after next. It's for everyone. And it's according to Romans chapter 8, when you don't know what to pray, the Spirit groans within you and prays the perfect will of God. Glossolalia is language. Language. But watch this. This word is glossolalia. It is for the gifts of the Spirit. And when people say, cessationists say, that the gifts such as tongues went out with the early believers, they do so by quoting 1 Corinthians that said, when that which is perfect has come, which they say is the word of God, tongues will pass away. But the problem they have is that that same verse says administration will pass away. How many of you know we still need administration to reach 6,000 people on Halloween? Right? You got to have it. Administration hadn't passed away, so you can't pick and choose which gifts you want. Now, there's a little sidebar. Come back to this word. This word says that there is gina glossoma, glossolalia, speech, gina, species of speech. I don't care whether you're Presbyterian, Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Episcopalian, Methodist, Presbyterian, Pentecostal, Holiness of My God Almighty, the First Chosen, whatever. I don't care what movement, denomination, part of the Baskin-Robbins house of God you belong to. It still is the same Greek word. The Bible literally says that there is a gift of tongues, so people who have to submit, and many of them have, like my mentor, I just went blank, I can't believe that. Ron Phillips in Chattanooga, the pastor's at 20,000 member Baptist Church, he's spirit-filled, he spoke here before. R.T. Kendall is baptized in the Holy Spirit. He's one of the greatest intellectuals considered in the body of Christ theologically, and a Calvinist, four-point Calvinist. Those that say it's obvious the gifts haven't went out, now must come here, and they must understand that the Bible says that there is a different kind of tongue. The word is divers kinds of tongues, which is the Greek word for different kinds of tongues. There's a tongue that is used in a service where a tongue is given out and an interpretation is given. It happens here. And I want you to understand something. Look me in the eye. Do you know how rare that gift is working in the body of Christ right now in the United States? And I'm talking about the Pentecostals. Very few churches allow the gifts to move. How many be glad we allow the gifts to move? We don't shut our intellect down, but we allow it to move. We're an intellectual, charismatic community of faith where grace is used to reach our community. But the Bible says that there are species, that there are genes, that there is a kind of tongue, speech, that is unique for public exhortation. And then there's another kind of tongues that everyone can have the gift, as many as the Lord God shall call. Those are the words of St. Peter. And I think that's awesome. Somebody say amen. It's fantastic right there. Let me show you what this highlights in 1 Corinthians 12. Matter of fact, go to 1 Corinthians 12 and now look at verse 30. Look at verse 30. And they say this. Do all speak in other tongues? Aha! I told you tongues were just for certain people, not everybody. Better read your Bible better. Always read. Let me give you some good hermeneutics. Hermeneutics means how you interpret Scripture. You cannot obey what you do not. But if you obey something that's wrong, you're in trouble because you're going to not get what you want from what you need from God. So knowing doctrine is very important. And the Bible says, are all apostles or all prophets or all teachers always take a text in a context? Never take one part of a biblical text and make a doctrine out of it. Do all have the gifts of healings? Do all speak in tongues? Now look at the next word. Do all interpret? He's using this word in talking about a tongue and interpretation. not the word glossolalia or exeglai. And people say, well, the early church, when they spoke in tongues, they spoke in known languages. Well, that's obvious because the people knew what they were speaking and actually thought they were drunk on the day of Pentecost. But here's where I got you. That's not glossolalia, that's exeglalia. That means that there's a language that you can speak in that God gives you that is the known language somewhere, is a known language somewhere. Now, in the early days of the Pentecostal movement, there are eyewitnesses and people who testify that, like in one case, this is a true story. I love this story. There was a little boy at Azusa Street, and he was about 6-7 years old and got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Where there was this guy who was an adult who was fighting the work at Azusa Street on Bonnie Bray, or by the, I don't know, yeah, I guess it was Bonnie Bray, or by the time they were over there at Azusa Street. And so he was fighting the work, and he was talking about those holy rollers. Matter of fact, that's what the LA Times called our forefathers, holy rollers, and said, weird fanaticism fools young girls. It's actually a newspaper article in the LA Times back in 1906. And this man was fighting the spiritual gifts and the renewal in the world at Azusa Street in 1906. And he walks into the Azusa Street revival, and a 7-year-old boy stands up and speaks in Russian dialect, and he was a Russian. And God read his mail, told him to stop fighting what was of his. He got saved and became an elder in the church. Somebody say amen. I don't know how you sit there. This stuff's real. I'm not teaching you fairy tales. I'm going to Disneyland next week. But this ain't Disneyland. Everybody, I just want to know. No condemnation if you don't lift your hands. But if you don't, I'm looking at you. Not so that I'm going to be mean to you, but I just want to help lead you and shepherd you. How many of you believe the gifts are still for today? I see your hands. Everybody still believes the gifts are for today. Good. You're more than welcome for me to take you to lunch and show you and look at the Bible and rightly divide it. This word actually means there's different kind of species of speech that God gives you for the purpose of interpretation. And I thank God for that. Amen. It actually means to talk at random. And it actually implies in the Greek to talk too much. Anyone in here ever watch anybody get the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It just spits out and rolls like a machine gun. Yeah, talk too much. That ain't always in English. That's a negative comment. It's not a negative comment in the Greek. It just means it, like a machine gun. How many of you have been baptized in the Holy Spirit? May I see your hands? You need it. You need it. And I'm praying that you're going to get it. Amen. I'm out of time, but that's good stuff right there. Really good stuff. We're going to look at wisdom, Sophias. We're going to look at diakonai, which is servant, deacon, which means service, the gift of service. And we're almost done. We're going to look at the gift of mercy. We've already looked at the gift of leadership. We've looked at the gift of knowledge. We really have looked at interpretation of tongues tonight, but I'll comment on that. And then we're going to give everybody a spiritual gift test and help you find out what your gifts are. You know what? I got 2 minutes, 3 minutes left. Any questions? Ask anything. There's no only dumb question is the one you don't ask. Anyone? How many of you are enjoying this? A 3, that's wonderful. Maybe you're enjoying learning what the potential for your gifts are. And this is for mature people. This is not for immature Christians. Even when you're immature, you can have a gift, but only mature know how to handle it, know what it is, and know how to operate it. So this is for mature Christians. This is to mature you as a Christian. If you're a baby Christian, this is to mature you as a Christian. How does the church operate? It operates through apostles first, who build things up and turn it over to pastors and shepherds and teachers. It operates under a prophetic anointing, a prophet. The office of a prophet is somebody who prays, I believe, and tells a stern truth. It operates under an evangelist. An evangelist is extremely important, where the word of God is going out and people are getting saved in the local church. And the Bible has a way of having a healthy church, and the world has a way of putting together a church that God doesn't even recognize. Denominations do, but it's not biblical. So how many of you want to help build a biblical church and love God? Any questions? Yep. Exeglalia means you're speaking in a language that's known somewhere. And many early missionaries who received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes wrongly, thought that God gave them the language to go speak, and they would get on a train, and they were called one-way ticket missionaries. And they would get on a train, and they would go to some foreign country, believing that God would help them speak that language. I think that's there's no wisdom in that. Yeah, it's a tongue that could be a known language. Yes, it's glossolalia, which is language, speech, more appropriate. Exeglalia is a specific speech known by specific people. Yeah, do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Yes, and you also, when you interpret that, you do your exegesis. You cannot say, Paul says, do all speak in tongues? That's proof that not everyone has the gift of tongues. No, it's not, because that tongue is that word and then connected in the next sentence to interpretation of tongues, which is completely different than Acts chapter 2, verse 4, and completely different than the purpose in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And then, of course, Paul said, I speak in tongues more than you all. The whole book of 1 Corinthians is how the Corinthian church had to learn how to operate in what we call supernatural gifts with balance, intellect. And one of the things I'm trying to do on Wednesday nights is show you the rational side of the gifts, not just the supernatural side. Anyone else? All right, Okay. In other words, can you have just the gift of interpretation? You can give a prophetic word, but that would be under logos sophia logos sophia or gnoskos logosi, word of knowledge, logos gnosko, word of wisdom, logos sophia. Those are two other gifts that are mentioned in Romans and in 1 Corinthians. And sometimes what you tell someone and you feel that unction comes from a word of knowledge. Rational thinking can come from a word of wisdom, or God can speak something to you and you say, hey, listen, you might want, I just feel like God says that you need to, you might want to pray about ABC. Well, number one, you know that's God if God's already been dealing with you. If God hasn't been dealing with you about that subject, then you need to back up and realize somebody may be immature or somebody just may be a nut, okay? You also need to realize that when somebody comes to you with a logos sophia, word of wisdom, or a logos gnosko, a word of knowledge, that it is always encouraging, not depressing. Everybody hear me? Right. The interpretation is directly related to glossolalia in the present form, the right form up there. And so while you can give a prophetic word using gnosko or using the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, I think that tongues and interpretation go together. And you have to know, you have to be mature enough to know the difference. So in other words, I might stand up and say, you know what God spoke to me? He said, how many of you want him to lay the head of Goliath at your feet? And that whole, when I said that 3 years ago, 2016, 2017, 2016, before 32 people died in this church, I felt it land like a bomb in this place. You remember the service, I know we got to go, but you remember the service when God gave a prophetic word and I told the story about an African-American man that picked me up from the airport in Chicago and taking me back after I'd trained these churches in Chicago, was taking me back to the airport, told me how his wife and him were unsaved and told me how they got saved. And that he used to be a carouser, and so did she. They partied all the time, and they had neighbors that got saved. And so they started inviting him over for a Bible study. And in the midst of a Bible study, he had a prophetic word for this unsaved person. And this unsaved person told her about demonic activity and her being molested. No one knew it. Word of wisdom. Word of you need a word of knowledge. You have knowledge about something that no one else had about. And God never embarrasses people. He sets the time and the circumstances for his gifts. But I came back and told that in this church. And one of the things, now, I almost want not to tell this now that I'm into it. How many of you trust me never to be sensational with the supernatural, but be as authentic as possible? Can I see hands? A demon manifested through molestation in that woman's life as a bitterness and hate in her heart. And the demon says to my friend, and he's, buddy, you want to talk about, let me tell you how good he is. He's George Bass on steroids, and you don't get any better than George Bass. The demon says to my friend, who's an African American, but she's been with me a long time. Don't take her from me. Anybody remember that, Todd? Kim, anybody remember that? LaFay, you remember that? And there was I was sitting right up on this stage, and I've never seen the Holy Spirit orchestrate circumstances like I watched him that day. And I watched people begin to weep uncontrollably in this congregation. You remember that, Sister Davis? There was a woman who sat right there who just wailed out. And God delivered her from molestation. And there was one over there, and there was one over there, and there was one back there. And I watched them just begin to weep. God orchestrates words of knowledge and words of wisdom in time and circumstances by his subjective divine will to achieve powers and intrinsic ability to heal people. And I watched that obedience heal people. I watched the supernatural gifts be used to heal someone and bring healing to them. Now, do they still need counseling? Yes, they do. I guarantee it. But the gifts are so real, and they're called power for a reason. So, most answers theologically is not either or any. Most answers theologically is not left or right, yes or no. It's both and. Anyone else? So that would be a word of wisdom or word of knowledge that took place in this room. Anyone else? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, my whole calling has been based on the proper use of supernatural gifts in an intellectual way where rationality, education, submits its frailty to your divine power and your absolute righteousness. You never make mistakes. God, never let us become goofy. Lord, never let it become a three-ring circus. But God, let the gifts of the Spirit begin to explode. The gift of mercy, the gift of helps, the gift of tongues and interpretation. God, let the gifts, no matter which ones they are, Holy Spirit, you give them to them as you want us to have them. and we'll give them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you guys.
We pray that you were blessed by this message. For more information about Covenant Community Church, please contact us at media@covenantcc.net or visit us online at covenantcc.net.